Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me on this fine recorded evening, I don't know what time you're listening to this. I'm sure it's beautiful. Probably not. Is my lovely bride, Natalie Worsham. Hello, Miss Natalie. How are you?
Hello. Wonderful.
Here's the thing. There's lots to talk about. You and I have had an eventful weekend thus far, but I would be remiss if I did not let us start off because I think that this could turn into a show dominating conversation.
I agree. We have like three podcasts that we could cross.
Well, good today. News is, number one, making you as often as possible a co-host. Very little chance that I could replace you. Let's be realistic.
Aww,
if anything changes on that level, I'm in some serious trouble. But anyway, there's nothing really going on for us parentally that I can think of off the top of my head. So, you know, it's just kind of business as usual. We're going through a phase of still, we've talked about it before, not really listening. There's a little bit of, I think, you and I needing to make a more, how do I say this, a more consistent standard for consequence in that, especially our little guy, he's really finding ways to push the boundaries. He's doing this thing where if we try to go out to eat now, he decides that he is going to behave like some kind of growth stunted terrorist. It's a form of terrorism that it's an ill word because it's not actual real terrorism.
Yeah,
that is frightening and scary.
No, it's
more passive aggressive and shame inducing, and it's emotional. He's got us by the short hairs.
He can find out like what all three of you would want to eat. He will find out what you guys all want, and he will purposefully say no.
He waits,
I don't want
like
that.
A pride of lionesses in the long grasses of the Sahara. And he waits.
And then there's about
the Sahara
to be a
desert. I might have screwed up that
I
joke.
Think so.
But yeah, he waits, and then once it's there, he's like, no. And then you go, well, you got to pick the restaurant last time, and now it's Jacob's turn, or it's mom's turn, or it's dad's turn.
But
and then
I'm not
going to
eat.
Yeah, then he does the I'm not going to eat anything, which here's where I fall into the booby trap. Mm-hmm. I immediately go into, all right, I'm gonna drop your mother and your brother off, and then you and I are gonna go home, and I'm gonna watch you eat bread and water.
Yeah,
that's
but
who
then
I am.
On the way to the restaurant, he'll say, "I just want to go home." So then it's like, well, wait a minute. If you take him home, are you giving him what he actually would rather have, which is just to go home?
No, he wants to see. He wants to see how far you'll take it. Mm-hmm. And all I need to do is just get pushed in the right direction, and they'll see. They always see, and here's what happens. We get to the restaurant, he finds the limit, and then he comes around, and then
even
he's nice.
And still, when we went to go order, even still, he kind of gave me a hard time, and I'm like, nope, we're not doing that. You have these three choices. And he goes, okay, because then he knows we're not backing down, and then it's, okay, I'm going to try it. Okay, I think that's a smart choice.
And
he ate his whole taco.
It's the part of parenting that is so unfortunate, I think. I don't know what you think, but it's like everything is in a microcosm. Everything is in your own little atrium of your family. And at the same time, because it's a very passionate perspective and life, that you are very focused and involved in your kids. And so a lot of times external influence is not welcome. Because it's a delicate dance. You know, maybe you get your parents commenting or your in-laws commenting or you have friends. Like, I feel like parenting, and I don't know if it was always this way. I feel like when you look back at the olden times, that parenting was not a thing that could, everybody did it the same, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And now
there weren't a lot of books. There wasn't a lot of awareness.
Yes.
There wasn't a lot of, you know, oh, he doesn't want this. He wants that. No, you didn't
Nobody
get to
cared.
Choose.
Nobody
this
cared.
Is where we're going for dinner. Eat or don't eat.
Parenting like- now is kind of teetering on, you know, falling into the same group of politics and religion as the things you don't talk about amongst friends or over dinner because it's too sensitive of a topic.
Yeah.
I know that if I talk, I constantly feel like I am disclaiming myself whenever I talk about the way I treat my children and I don't open up it, you know, also, you know, with the whole election thing, like who are you going to vote for? Who are you not going to like? That's, you know, but that's political, obviously. But it's like there were these landmines of that you kind of are walking through in life and how you treat your kids. And because of, I guess, my humor and being known for humor, a lot of people don't take me seriously, even though a lot of what I joke about. Like, we had an example where we went out to dinner with your brother-in-law and sister the other night. And your sister is a very sweet mother where she wants to try to keep everybody happy. And so she was trying to let everybody pick where they sat at the table.
Oh, wait, we were like, just sit down.
And you and I were just kind of like looking like, yeah. I don't,
what's going on?
Yeah.
Why is this hard? Yeah.
It's like we were guests in their island's restaurant.
Yeah. And they were just being nice. They were. Yeah, yeah.
But it was this thing where, and then finally it came down. She's like, well, I didn't know if Jack would be okay not sitting next to his mother. And I just said, well, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, and then we're like, oh my God, he could care less where I am.
No.
Like, we're good.
No, it doesn't. He probably could care about it. But what I'm saying is that it's much better, especially in the situation of Jack and where he is in his developmental phase, or whatever you want to call the bullshit assholedom that he's going through. Yeah. It's much better for you to go, I don't care what he wants right now. Jack gets enough of what he wants and needs a little taste of humble pie of not getting what he wants. Mm-hmm. So we had, you know, that whole circumstance. And what was the other thing that... Oh, this was the other thing. We'll touch on this because I've already taken us off the sidetrack. We'll get into it. Nope, you know what? I'm going to change shift gears again. I got a letter from somebody, and it says, Justin, let me tell you about a funny conversation I had with my mom. First off, let me give you a little background. My mom is a religious woman. She wasn't always. She got pregnant with my sister at age 16, but she is very much so now. Okay, with that being said, I was talking to her about my relationship with my husband, as we all do. One of the nice things about I found growing up is that now I get to have conversations with my father and even my mom. We joke about married life, you know, kind of a thing. Anyway, back to the letter. I told her everything was actually very good, although because we are so busy, they have a new one-year-old and they're both work. They don't get to spend a lot of time together. I let slip that we've had only sex about twice in the past month, not because we don't want to, but because we're just exhausted. And she informed me that it's my duty as his wife to satisfy his needs every day, anytime he wants. He has needs that I must attend to. And then she says, I also have needs, and it's called sleep. I did not tell her that's not how I roll. We have sex when we want it. He kind of earns it. And this is the interesting part I find about this letter, because I want to know your take on it. I don't think that this is necessarily
true. Oh, I can't wait to get into this one.
All right, I'll let you go first. He has ways that he earns it. I mean, him getting up with our son at 4 a.m. and letting me sleep earns it. When he is playing I'm Gonna Get You with our son and making him giggle so much earns it. When he says I love you and holds me close earns it. What are your thoughts? I'd love to hear what your lovely wife has to say about it too. My lovely wife.
Okay. So I have a few things on this one. So number one, you can't really be truly happy if you're just lying on your back, right? And I had this so much better in my brain than I do in my mouth right now. That's just not happiness. You're not happy. He's not happy. And as far as like a duty goes, your duty is laundry and changing oil and keeping a job. That's a duty. Lying on your back to fuck your husband is not a duty. Okay. No one has a duty to have sex. Now, let me go back. You have the right to be tired. It's okay to be tired, and it's okay to just snuggle. I think there's nothing wrong with that. But as far as like before we started the podcast, I had Justin look up the definition of duty versus obligation, because that's very much, they're very, very, very similar in this context. So duty is a task. So, okay, I have to mark it off the box that I had sex with you today as my task to get through the day. Well, that's not
fun for
her.
It's a job or responsibility you're expected to perform. That's a duty.
That's not fun for her. That's not fun for him. He's tired. And then she's just lying on her back motionless while he's going to town on a dead corpse.
I can tell you that does not matter.
Well, okay, so it's a warm hole, but it's just slower. It's not right. Yeah, no. So then you look at the word obligation. Well, that comes to morality when you look at obligation. What's the what's the right thing to do, basically. Not cheating on your spouse is a moral obligation. But as far as the vows go when you get married, there's no, it is your duty that you must have sex with your spouse. It is
yeah, we need to ratify that constitution
that you
as
have
a guy.
To, well, please them physically. I'm all about pleasing each other physically, but there's got to be like, it's got to be done together. And my last point on this is he wants sex. You want sleep. Well, you'd like sex too, but you're so tired you can't even really go there. So it's a compromise. Your relationship is a compromise. It's about being honest. Listen, I'm too tired. That's not and you want to have fun. That is possible to be tired and to want to have sex and still have fun together. That is possible. So it's working together and knowing when. And then as a woman, cuz God knows when you are tired, it's hard. And when your kids are younger, it is harder because it's so easy to just go to sleep. But then you've got to look at it in a different perspective. It might only take 15 minutes, right? So 15, 20 minutes would make your husband happy. Ultimately, if you hit the peak, then that's going to make you sleep like a rock. And then that's going to make you happy too. And you're going to sleep.
You're not backbutting, are you?
You're going to sleep really good. So as tired as you are now, bang your husband for 10 minutes and you will sleep like an angel. So it could help both of you. But I think going to bed a little bit earlier or, you know, just working together on that. And as far as like earned it, so want to touch on this one too. As far as when you say he earned it, when he's waking up with the kids at 4 a.m. or whatever, that's hot.
What?
That's hot. When a husband wakes up at 4 a.m. to take care of your kid, it's not that he earned it. That's a turn on.
You have got to be shitting me.
When you see your husband snag your child and change a dirty diaper because you're too tired to get off the couch, that's hot. That's cool. It's not a fucking sticker chart. He doesn't get a little sticker every time he does a favor for the wifey. It's that's not what it is. It's not that you earn. You don't earn it. It's.
But you are. If you're saying, here's the thing. Okay, let's do this. Let's take.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Let's take a quick one and then we'll get my response after this. Okay, here's my point. You're saying it's not a sticker chart. You don't earn it. But when you say to a man, mm-hmm. right, when you get up with the kids, you're earning it. When, like what she describes, when you're playing with the kids, you're earning it. What we're really dealing with is a difference in the wiring, I think, between the male and the female brain. Is that, guy, here's the thing. When you have children, especially when they're young, and you're not getting any sleep, it's like an early civilization. All right? I'm going to get all sociology on you. Early civilization was so concerned with finding food and water and staying alive that they had no time to create. So there was no cave drawings yes. or any of that stuff, really, yes. right? Uh-huh. It wasn't until they figured out a way to have a renewable food source and water that then all of a sudden they became creative. And then they started dancing and then writing songs. And then, you
now
know
they have
mean?
Energy.
Yes.
Exactly.
Things, there were necessities were taken care of. When you are in the middle of that, especially probably the first 18 months, I think the first year is anybody can still be having problems and recovering. Like, I don't think you've slept more than 5 hours in the last 7 years. I don't know if that's true or not. If you did, maybe 8 times in a year. That would be my assessment.
The nights we had sex.
Thank you. So that idea of, I think that is very normal. And I'm not just saying this as a guy, though, but to go back to what the mom is saying, let's really look at this from what is the negative? What is the genuine drawback from having sex with your husband whenever he wants it? Now, here's the thing. I'm not talking about, you know, Robert De Niro in some movie where he plays a guy who's a drinker and can't hold a job and likes to get a little rough every now and then. That's not the guy I'm talking about. I am talking about the guy who could burp a baby, change a diaper, wrestles around with the kids, takes up, coaches the little league or refs the basketball games. I'm talking about that guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Stay-at-home dad guy who's getting vomited and pooped on, or guy who go works an 8-hour plus day, comes home, and maybe he's a dick when he walks in the door because every once in a while he needs a break. But if you look at it, 80%, 90%, hell, fucking 70% of the time, that asshole is in it to win it and is providing for his family. You tell me what is the negative of banging that dude whenever he's in either a bad mood or just kisses you on the back of your neck. And I would throw down the gauntlet to say that there is no downside to that, because I understand that sex is a two-way road, as well it should be, okay? But there's a reason why this is a topic of conversation. And I think the reason that this is a topic of conversation is because, A, as I have learned from the fantastic Rachel Gibbs, is that in order to feel love, men need sex. And in order to have sex, women need to feel loved.
Bingo.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I'm just saying, I think I kind of call bullshit on all of that stuff in your minds when you see it in a movie, and when it's fucking Ryan Gosling doing it, when he's the one changing the diaper, yes, that's hot. But, and I'm not saying that if I go out, like the other day when I was out here playing football with the kids, mm-hmm. I could tell that you like that. You find it endearing.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
And that most women do. But to say that that gets tallied in the sex bank is royal bullshit.
No.
Yep. Mm. Fuck you. Mm. Listen. Because you are that woman.
He's rallying for more sex, evidently.
No, I'm not rallying for more sex. I'm sticking up for the very target audience of this show.
Yeah.
And I'm whispering in the ear of the hot moms that we have listening to give you insight into that male guy's brain for you.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing.
Well, I'm supportive of it. That's why I said I know 15, 20 minutes. And you're good.
I get it. I totally get it. But here's the real drawback.
Duty.
The real drawback, I think, is women would like when you'll come up to me after that moment, or when you come home from work, right? And you're a little extra amorous. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, how are you, sailor? Mm-hmm. Right? And then I'm like, all right, it's on like Donkey Kong. I go to bed, right? Expecting to be, now the new routine is that you will wake me up when you go to bed.
Because he has to go to bed before the kids go to bed.
Right.
Yeah.
So you will wake me up when you go to bed.
Right.
But then what happens, Natalie?
Then I get tired and I stay up too late. Oh. And then, yeah, see, that's what I mean. I'm speaking for them because I'm just as guilty. So then you get too tired, you stay up too late. And
now,
then
we don't have
you
a one-year-old, though.
And then all of a sudden.
And I sat here and I played touch football with
yes,
the kids
true.
For 30 minutes.
Exactly.
So
but you still,
really
that's why my, oh, fuck
Do
off.
I need a lawyer?
That, no.
Do I need a lawyer to hire my sex
if
collector?
You open your ears. That's why I said, go to bed a little earlier. Take a shower, get nice and clean and calm,
yes.
Whatever, right? And then remember, it might only take 10 to 15 minutes. But, and then if you don't orgasm, then it's not the end of the world because your husband will no matter what. And he'll be happy when he wakes up the next day and have a wonderful day at work and come home and give you hugs and snuggles and kisses. And what's
notice that, but I would like to point out that you said... See what you said. It's like I said, but there is a very big difference between what you're saying. I said to go to bed early.
Uh huh.
Okay. There's a very big difference. This is what you like to call efforting. Okay.
Oh, good.
I said
oh,
that if I go to bed early, uh-huh. that this will work out. By the way,
well,
I want all the guys.
Start
hold on.
With efforting.
I'll turn your mic off. I can't have that power. What I just want to make it clear again to all of the gentlemen. This is a prime opportunity to please help me out by spreading the word of the show.
This is because the dad podcast.
I am jumping on a gigantic sex grenade for you right now. All right. I am doing this for the greater good. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, gentlemen. And I am here for you because I am nothing short of a hero. And I think we all could agree on that.
Yeah.
But no, it's that idea that you said, I said, yes, this is what I should do. But there's a big difference in the action. Now, the other example I call back to, is that Bill, the original co-host of the show a long time ago, he told me about a friend of his who just not even for a show, not for a web series, not for a Twitter account, nothing. Just she just decided she was going to have sex with her husband whenever he inclined, whenever he seemed to be in the mood, right? And then she found everything was being done. He painted the house. She never had to ask him to do anything. And it's, listen.
He was very loving and affectionate to her, too, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rachel Gibbs would probably, I don't think that she would judge the idea of what we're, or the spirit of kind of what we're jokingly talking about here. But I think that she, as a therapist, would disagree with the idea and the tactic in that. If a woman does what you are saying, if you just say, you know what? I'm just going to bite the bullet for 15 minutes or whatever it is, and we're just going to we're going to get her done.
Attitude all the time. That's the
But here's the thing. How many times, honestly, how many times have I made a move and you were not interested?
There's been
And then of those times, have you just said, "Oh, all right, I guess."
There's been a couple.
A couple. Like but is it 70% of the time that I make the move first? Is it 40%?
It's very, very, very low.
So like 2 out of 10 times? 3 out of 10 times?
1 out of 10 or something.
Well, don't. Not for the sake of the audience. Be honest.
Like 10% of the time.
10%.
Maybe
all right.
15%.
So of that 10%, though, how many times do you, for lack of a better way of putting it, walk away? Although you and I both know it's limp. By the time I'm...
Moving on. Next.
No, how many times do you walk away? Not listen, I'm not saying that I could get you there every time.
Right.
All right. I'm not a bragger. Yeah. But you have said that it's overall, it's still an enjoyable experience.
Right. Well, and there's been moments where I wasn't in the mood at all. And then I'm like, oh, my gosh, by far top five.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's what I mean. You won't be disappointed. And then you'll sleep really well.
Right.
Because there were days where I wasn't sleeping really well for like 7 days in a row, and Justin's like, you know what you need? And I'm like, no, I don't need penis to put me to sleep. And
yes,
you know,
do.
He knows better
I
than
do.
I do buffalo. Sometimes.
It's a huge buffalo.
So that worked out.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Do I think that we should live in a, you know, completely misogynistic world where I need to have a Tom Collins ready when I walk in the door?
That's the other thing. Like people that are very, very, you know, pro women's rights and, you know, like feminists are going to have a huge issue with this discussion, I think. I don't know. But because it's not, or the letter, I should say, as far as being a duty or earning it or what have you. But I think get that out of your brain as far as the feminist stuff or misogynistic stuff. Just get that all out and just look at the fundamental man, female. What makes you happy? What keeps you going? And sex is one for the guys and sleep is one for the ladies. So work together and compromise and you'll both end up having fun.
Everything will work out.
Exactly.
So I think what you're saying is just have sex with your husband whenever he wants.
Yes. And go, well, but, goodness, not whenever he wants, because there's got to be an expectation. Plus, if you don't do it every time he wants it, then it creates a little like, she's playing hard to get. Maybe.
Here's what I think we are really talking about. What we're really talking about that happens when you have children isn't a lack of desire to have sex. Because, just to keep everybody from screaming into their earbuds or their car stereo dashes right now. I'm not saying that it's not for lack of interest. I do think that. But when you have children, I'm imagining, I'm very good at staying in tune with the female perspective. Tell me if I'm wrong on this. When you are having children and taking care of children, right? It is a very unsexy lifestyle.
True.
It's one of the biggest points of humor of this show. There is very little to be found sexy about parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it is
spit up,
laughably
diapers and
laughably unsexy.
No makeup and baggy clothes.
And that for more often than not, a woman's level of and I think it's an unfair thing, if I'm being honest. A woman's bar for sexy is set very much higher than a man.
True. And if she doesn't feel sexy,
right,
she's not going to want to have sex with
right.
you. And so those moments where she says he earns it when he comes and snuggles with her, then that makes her feel good. That makes her feel sexy. Then it's going to make that act is now hot and it's a turn on and she will most likely have sex with him that night.
See, again, most likely. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. There isn't a lock. I think that's really interesting that there isn't.
She will.
There is.
Because
no, you can't, don't have to say it.
Kid could vomit all over the floor, and then now she has to pick that up, and then now she's just more exhausted and just irritated, and she can smell nothing but vomit through her nose hairs.
All right. So
and
let's,
now she's no longer in the mood.
Let's spend a couple minutes. Just give us more insight into the female brain. What can a guy do to improve his chances? What should, as a woman, as a mother, mm-hmm. what helps a guy improve his chances? What makes it harder to say no?
Be involved and be there, and then grab her and tell her she's beautiful, or give her a hug.
Yes,
or
that's
give
my
her
point.
Kiss,
or, how do you make her feel sexy?
Or take the kids like
creepily stare at her
surprise.
While she showers.
Sure, that always works. Or get a babysitter and then take her out to dinner, or just go on a walk, just the two of you. I mean, it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be a present. It's just the smallest little thing that makes her feel good about herself.
But then how, like, let's say, especially when you have a 0 to 1 year old,
mm-hmm.
date night, not really feasible because, you're breastfeeding the kid every 3 hours.
Take the kid and she gets to go to sleep for a while. But when you're breastfeeding a kid every 3 hours, you definitely don't feel sexy.
Yeah.
Your boobs hurt. Everything's just awkward. You feel like you stink because your hair is a mess. You haven't washed it for 3 days because you're just too tired. I mean, that happens. So masturbation is
that's your only resort,
highly
fellas?
Recommended in between the feedings.
Let me throw down this idea. So if I'm in that 0 to 1 year old range, mm-hmm. maybe what I do is if I come home from work, I'm a guy, right? I come home from work, or maybe it's the weekend, and I say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take the baby and or kids. And I'm going to, cause I've pitched this to another dad. I'm going to go take him to the park, or I'm going to go on a walk with him. This is your time. I don't want you to do anything or worry about the house. I want you to go in, take a shower, and just relax, or take a bath. If that's, whatever your thing is, light a candle, listen to some tunes, mm-hmm. whatever, not for the sake of getting lucky. Okay.
Right.
But I'm just going to do that. I'm going to say, do that. That more than likely is going to put you in a better headspace, a more receptive headspace.
Right.
Then
when she's all clean, like when you're all clean and you've gotten out of a nice warm shower and you feel clean and you're in nice clean clothes, and then your husband is taking the kids, and then you get a little nap in, then yeah, your chances are very high at that point.
But the key is kids need to return in a clean state.
And that is key.
It doesn't need to then create more work that you have to get caught up, because you can't make a sense of, it's like that, like when you go on vacation from your job and then you come back and now you have to work even harder
to
get caught up on the work you've missed.
The diaper's wet. They've got, dirty clothes. Their hands are filthy. Yeah, no. They've got to come back sparkling, shining, food in their bellies, butts cleaned.
Yeah.
And like you said, you have to nail it. You've got to nail it. And when you come home and everything's done and you took the diaper bag and they've had their feeding and snacks and they're happy and exhausted and ready to go to bed, you will definitely.
So you've got to nail it.
Ride the sex wave.
In order mm-hmm. to nail it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
We saved
lives.
And
then you will have a lot of happiness.
If anybody has thoughts on this, please send us an email, show@thedadpodcast.com, tweet @dadpodcast, Facebook message, any of that. Let us know in the Hot Moms Club. Feel free to weigh in and tell me that, A, I am full of shit in my ideas, because it sounds like you, for a good chunk of it, are pretty much agreeing with what I'm saying. I don't think either one of us are disagreeing on this, right, dear?
No, I think we both agree. I think it's just, I think the whole...
It's not, what we're not dealing with is the stereotypical men have a higher sex drive than women do.
Yeah, no.
What we're dealing with
keep it simple.
Is exhaustion, and that kids create a situation where you don't really get to focus on the other one, the spouse, so much.
Mm-hmm.
And
self-care.
A lot of what I've read has kind of stressed how important that is. I mean, I know that I kind of wrestle with you on this as your spouse, and it's gotten a lot cooler now because we have time where on Sunday we get caught up on the shows we missed during the week.
Oh,
because
so lazy. And then I feel guilty for being so lazy.
You got to get over that.
It's really nice.
Yes, you got to get over that, because
really
you got to get some time to just you.
Yeah.
You got to send the kids into their room or the playroom so that you guys could do. And if watching TV isn't your thing, don't do that. But here's another thing that I think I was thinking about this a lot, and I'm going to bring back family game night. And I know it sounds super cheesy and schmaltzy, which I think is why most dudes kind of go, it looks like I'm trying to steal from a sitcom. Because that was my first thought.
Some of the best memories I have of my father when I was 8 years old was every Wednesday night we would play games.
Right. And see, here's what I realized is that our younger son, and this is also the genesis of this, is that our younger son is having a hard time not winning. And so, therefore, he needs to lose more is my philosophy.
Well, and
that he can learn to deal with that.
Yeah. But,
so therefore, I will crush them at Monopoly.
And he does.
I will crush them.
He does not. I give him a chance at tic-tac-toe. No, Justin, uh-uh. You can't figure it out. You lose.
Yes.
Such an asshole. And you wonder why our little one's an asshole.
He's not an asshole. He's not. No, hold on.
Okay.
He is not the same kind of asshole that I am.
No, yeah.
He is a very different kind. I don't. I'm not a complete contrarian. I don't just choose the opposite path for sake.
When
everyone else
wants
the opposite
path.
I never do that.
Yeah.
All right. So now we've got some more interesting parenting stuff to cover after this. All right. I found this. Here's a quick little tidbit that I wanted to share. Because when I found it while thank you for the jingle intro, Natalie. When I first saw it, I was looking for a brain food segment to have, and I couldn't find one. But I stumbled upon this, and I thought it was so interesting. On one of the sites I perused for brain food, here was something that is actually parentally relevant: that kids should not be wearing heavy winter coats in their car seats. Would you ever thought? I mean, we live in Southern California.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, because your seat's not protecting them.
What do you mean your seat's not protecting them?
Well, you
this is going to blow my mind if you already know this.
You shove a marshmallow man into a suit and try to strap him in, then when you get into a car accident, it's not protecting them. That's going to be like absorbed in a hot minute, and then they're too loose and they have more, like they're going to get injured.
Right. I would have initially thought that it's because they get too hot while in the car.
Well, that's you.
And maybe
he has it at 50 degrees when it's 40 degrees outside. He'll have the air conditioner blowing. So that's you.
Fair attack. But it's actually that they have found in crash simulations of 30 miles per hour that a dummy will fly from its jacket in a seatbelt.
Wow.
So that the jacket actually provides a slippery like shell, if you would, that could just be shed like a snake skin and you just come flying out of it. So what they suggest is that you lay the coat over the child once they're buckled in like their shirt or even a small sweater. The big thing is you just don't want like a big, puffy, heavy jacket. But they also said, this is what I thought was interesting, is the same thing applies to adults. That they should take off their puffy big winter jackets before they buckle in as well.
Yeah, so, makes sense.
There's a little tidbit.
So as winter rolls around.
Here's another thing that blows my mind, and I want to say this because I hope that it entertains the listeners that have teenagers to hear me talk about my foresight into teenagers, is that there's this a question that an article I found at the New York Times, should you spy on your kids? Now, real quick, just because we live in a time where you can track them on a cell phone, you can demand access to their passwords on their social media accounts and peruse that. I know parents that do do that, and I know parents that don't, that they make it a point to go, oh, well, that's their lives, it's their privacy. And my thing is, if I'm paying for it, then it is mine. It is not yours.
Yeah, there's a fine line there.
All the more reason for you to get a job and pay for it on yourself. And as much as it might frighten me, then I probably will feel like there's a greater battle won here, and I will take a step back, hoping that a child who is responsible enough to make enough money to not only pay for the cell phone, but also the monthly bill, is also a child who is responsible enough to handle other situations. Mm-hmm. Well, a Pew Research Center survey of adults with children 13 to 17 years old, published this year, found that 61% of parents check the websites that their teenagers visited. Now, that to me is already 61% of people. If you have sons, their browser history is not something you want to see.
Right.
I don't know. I would honestly, and I'm a guy who does not get uptight, but I would feel uncomfortable to know.
Well, what are you going to do with that information?
Exactly.
Like, you're going to go to them and then now they're not going to trust you? Like, what? what are you going to do with it? And it, this whole right. hovering parenting thing.
I mean, he's like on his own sexual about. Journey. I don't need to tell him about clownmidgets.com. Yeah, I feel like let him find that on his own.
Better for you not to know, because now you have that information, and what are you going to do with it?
60% visited their social media accounts, and 48% looked through their phone calls and messages. Mm-hmm. A portion that tracked their teenagers' whereabouts through their cell phones was 16%. Now, that to me is shocking. I feel like
that would be like 61%. Yeah,
because it's so easy.
That would be terrifying. When someone goes to a party and they don't tell you where they're going, and then God knows if someone's going to get drunk, like me knowing where you are would be much more important than what you looked at on the internet.
And I'm sorry to go dark, but it popped in my head, is that there was a family here in Orange County that their 17-year-old daughter went to a party. And I guess she got so, this is the other sad part about it, she got so blitz drunk she was unconscious. Ugh, and an Uber,
not good for a girl.
An Uber car was called to bring her home, I guess, or something. And she passed out in the back seat of the car. She was by herself. It took her a while to get home.
But so, that's frightening, because how can you trust the Uber driver?
So they were like, what? And then they went to the car, and the guy was raping her in the back seat
God's
of the car.
Sake. See, that's...
So it's... Yeah.
And
it's,
then now he knows where you live.
No. Ugh.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Let's not make people scared. I might even edit this out.
Well, that's...
One carrier, T-Mobile, says that it has 4 million customers using a free service that blocks their children from viewing sexual content, graphic violence, and crude humor, which I think is hilarious. You also have to put crude humor in there. It also has 375,000 customers who pay $4.99 a month for something called family allowances, which lets parents block their children from texting and calling certain phone numbers. Now, I like that. Shut down their phones during school and homework hours and monitor how much they are texting. T-Mobile has about 100 subscribers who pay $9.99 a month for another service, FamilyWare, spelled W-H-E-R-E, which lets families keep track of the location of all phones on their accounts.
Wow.
What were
so
you going to say?
So now they're basically targeting teenagers for their marketing materials to make more money.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, but that's how businesses work. But
right. But then if you need to text your parent or something during school hours, then now you can't because of this fancy app that they're paying $10 for.
What do you possibly... Listen, people went generations without needing to talk to their parents during the school hours.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's like this thing where it's like...
I feel like it's such a different world. But like, yeah, when we were younger, not. Like, you didn't know.
I don't think it really is. And I know I'm stupid.
I don't know.
I get that I'm stupid. I just don't buy that it's that much of a different world. If anything, it's different just because everybody is more accessible. I mean, imagine how much could the world... Like, it's not like cell phones made kidnappings more likely to happen. That's not what happened.
True.
And it's not like because people were more likely to be kidnapped, we invented cell phones. They happen independently of each other. And in fact, kidnapping cases are actually down more so than what they were before cell phones even happened. So I don't think it's that. I think it's a thing where I've seen people who use the I want to know where they are excuse because, unfortunately, to me, which is the bigger problem, is they want little Sally to not feel like they are the only kids. It's like, it's what Oshkosh B'gosh jeans were for me, okay? I had to wear Orchard Supply Hardware jeans in elementary school while everybody else had Levi's because my father did not want to spring for a $60 plus pair of pants that would maybe last me a year. He's like, these are $25, and to him, they looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
And so it's a status thing that if your kid doesn't have the latest iPhone or any kind of cell phone, then all of a sudden, but you don't want to be the parent who's obsessed with your kid being cool. So instead, what you do is you buy it and then you pass it off like it's for their own safety. I don't know. Maybe I'm unfairly judging. And also, let me also restate, I understand I have an 8 and a 5-year-old and I look forward to being a hypocrite in just 5 short years, everybody. That's when I will be a hypocrite. But here's the thing. If I buy my son a phone, I could guarantee you that will be me having him by the short hairs. That the minute that little fucker does not
like
fall in line,
game.
I will shut it down.
Yeah. If he's not listening or doing what he's supposed to do, then he loses video games. Now, for a teenager, it's losing your phone. It's losing the internet. It's losing, like, that's the same kind of idea. It's a punishment.
I mean, do you think that we will do that? Would you be?
I probably would. I would want to have my kids have a phone. I'd like to know where they are. But as far as searching their website and finding out what they're looking at and what they're texting, I wouldn't want to know, because hopefully we've done our job as parents for him to make good choices. And yeah, they're not going to always make good choices and they're going to blow it every now and then. But
yeah, I feel like for
the majority, like, oh no.
Because here's the thing.
They have to have some privacy, I think.
I agree, sort of, because here's the thing. I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of, say, someone who's found something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And when you found something, it's usually something that's so big. Because nobody ever talks about the time that they checked the kid's phone and nothing was found. Or maybe they just found, he checked out jugs.com, or he went and downloaded the images of Jennifer Lawrence nude that were leaked from her phone. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and for some parents, they would snap their kid's neck. Like, that would be mortifying for them. Like,
right.
For me, if he was looking at a website, like, that wouldn't bother me. But if he was,
how old? Let's talk about that for a second. How old before either one of our kids, because we have boys, so this is different, but how old would you be okay with them looking at pornography on the internet?
How old?
Yeah, what would be the age? Like,
God's
lowest
sakes.
Age, bare minimum.
Lowest? Oh, geez.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
When their penises start to go up and they're more aware of it, like when puberty
starts.
It'd
be probably 13 then, 12, 13.
That's what I mean. Like, you're,
that seems wildly young.
It is really young, but on the flip side, you're learning it, like your body's changing, you're learning about it, and then you're learning, okay, if I look at this, it gets me excited, and all of a sudden, woo, something squirts. Like, that you gotta know what's going on with your body.
Right, but I think for me, as a guy, and like I've said many times on this show, is that my goal with my sons
like
is
soft
to...
porn.
Yes, that's what
like,
I'm saying.
Like a soft, not likely, like a hardcore, like...
The likelihood, though, of them stumbling upon something that is more soft core is slim to none. And then if you have a relationship, like, my hope is that I will have a relationship about sex in regards to the topic of sex with my kids, very similar to what I had with my parents.
True, but
it wasn't like we were talking about
it on their own,
right? But it wasn't like we were talking about it on the daily.
Yeah.
But if I ever had a question, or if I was ever uncomfortable about a certain thing, I totally felt comfortable coming to them and talking to them about it.
But I think,
and I had girls ask me to do things that I was uncomfortable doing, which, as a dude, is kind of weird, right? Like, you, it should be the other way around.
Guy normally,
and because I always felt I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm kind of half wired like a chick in the brain or whatever. But when I was a teenager, I remember the girls that I did make a move on or whatever. I remember understanding that this was a different thing for me than it was for them.
Yeah, you were,
and that I had to handle that respectfully.
Right.
And gentlemanly.
Right.
But I still was a 16-year-old boy who liked to get laid. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that either. So to go back to it, I think if they were probably 16, I would be okay with them starting to like peruse the websites. But I think at a certain point, having this conversation with you right now, to live forever on the internet, by the way, I think I'm going to sit down with them at about 13, 14, or if they ever get their own computer.
Right.
And I'm just going to break it down to them and go, listen, because my dad did this only not about pornography. He did it for drugs and alcohol.
Which
he said,
just as important.
You are going to be curious.
Yeah.
And that is totally fine. I get that. The only thing I ask is that if you ever get uncomfortable, or you find yourself in a weird situation, as uncomfortable as you may think it is, please come to me because I will help you and you will get no judgment from me. All right. But if my dad's extended, if I ever catch you coming home drunk or high or something like that after driving a car, I will end your life.
Right.
You always can wake me up in the middle of the night because there's no chance that you're going to get hurt. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to be happy with you, but it's always going to break better.
It'll
and there was something
better,
about the way he put it, that there was one time that I had some drinks at a party in high school and I was supposed to go home. And I'm like, you know what? No. But I was like, I didn't have a ton. I wasn't drunk, but I just had a drink or two and I wasn't even buzzed, but I'm like, I'm not going to risk it. In fact, I'm going to go home later than what I said I was going to. And it, when I get home, if he's pissed, I'm going to just tell him, I had a couple drinks. I didn't think it was worth waking you up. So I hung it out there until I knew I was good to go.
Yeah.
And I stayed an extra 3 hours at the party, came home and did my stupid paper out because jobs are really what I think keeps kids out of trouble. Blah, blah, blah. Here's the other thing. Dana Boyd, the founder of Data and Society and a visiting professor at New York University, said that sharing digital information, including location, is viewed as a sign of trust and respect between people with close relationship. But that it can easily be twisted into an abuse of power. The game changes when we're talking, this is a quote from Dr. Boyd. The game changes when we're talking about a 16-year-old who feels stalked by their parents. This is because the sharing of information isn't a mutual sign of trust and respect, but a process of surveillance. In her fieldwork with teenagers, she said she was disturbed to find that the privacy norms established by parents influence their children's relationship with their peers. So this is a separate point, everybody. Teenagers share their passwords for social media and other accounts with boyfriends and girlfriends because they learned it. This is what she says, quote, they learned this from watching us and from the language we used when we explained why we demanded to have their passwords. And this is all fine, albeit weird, in a healthy relationship, but devastating in an unhealthy one. Mm-hmm. So what I think her point here is that if you don't kind of say, listen, if you're the parent who says, I'm going to check your messages and I'm going to look through your phone, so I'm going to need to have access to all that stuff if this is something that you would like to have. But you also need to make it clear is that this is something for just you and I.
Right.
This is so I could keep you safe. This is not something you give to your boyfriend or your girlfriend or anything
breakup,
like that.
Bad right. breakup, and they're tracking right. your ass down. And yeah, right. no, that's not good.
All right, let's do a little moment of the week. Yes, yes?
Sure.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with the Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Dad Gear logo on the right-hand side. It's made in the USA. Hey, guys. So, yes, Dad Gear, I'm putting that in there. I'm still working out the details, as I have said before. But I believe so much in their product that I think it is a great thing for you to have regardless. If you want to try to throw in a promo code of Dad Podcast, maybe it shows up. Or if you want to click through the link so that it shows up as a trackable so that I know I'm sending people, great. All of our power to you. But I really do love their product. But at this point, Daddy's not getting paid. So anyway, Natalie.
Okay, so
do you want to go first or would you like me
sure
to go first?
I'll go first so I can get it out of the way. So I have two. Jack,
moment of the week. Let's get it out of the way.
Jack's was a little harder considering.
Yeah, we've had a rough go.
He's been a little tough one, but there's moments that he has where he'll just hold my hand or like today he wanted to just come snuggle with me. And then
you're very good,
me,
by the
like,
way.
Pretty mama.
I'll do it on my moment of the week. Go ahead.
He'll call me like pretty mama. And then I'll say, yes, yes, handsome son. Like those little moments, they're not going to last forever. Moments where he's like, will you come lay with me? Like after I've read him a book and stuff. And I'm like, no, no. But yeah, those little moments, you cherish those when you are going through a tough go with one of your kids and it's, you know, they're not listening or it's just, he's, you know, he's just tougher than when you've got those little moments, you really latch onto them and you really, really appreciate them. So I think that's what I've gotten with Jack this week. And then with Jacob, what I thought was so cute is last night, my niece is a cheerleader at a football game and it was one of her last home games. So we went to go see her college football game and Jacob was just on cloud nine, like the whole time. He was loving every minute of it. And we ended up staying the whole game instead of going home early. And at the very end, he got to go on the field. And he's just walking on the field and he's grinning ear to ear. And he's like, this is so cool. I go, yeah, it's like a kid in a candy store. And he goes, no, mama, this is better than a candy store. And it was cute. And then at one point, I'm like, oh, okay. So we're walking around. And he got to meet one of the football players. And he was just so happy. And then he's looking around. And he just got new shoes, too. So they're extra boiny and yes. bouncy. And he goes, he looks at the field. And he's looking at all these people. And he's just looking around. And he goes, mama, I just want to run. And I'm like, well, okay. Like, you can run. Just watch for people. Where do you want to run to? And then my nephew and him and Jack, they hightailed it and went all the way down the, you know, past all the yards, and he was just having a good old time. So just his little face and everything, it was just really, really cool.
Yeah, it is a thing, because that's kind of my moment of the week, is what I was talking about earlier in the show when we came out and we're throwing the football around. And it's something that, you know, it's kind of like, it's those moments in parenting life and in family life where you get tired and you don't feel like you want to do anything.
Yeah, I was like, Justin, let's go.
Yep.
Outside, let's go.
Yep. And so I wanted to say in this moment is that everybody needs to have that Natalie voice in your head. That if you're sitting on the couch and you're tired, but your kid is like, I want to color this with you or whatever. Here's the thing. If you don't have it in you, don't waste a minute feeling guilty. There is nothing to feel guilty about. But if you have that in you and you hear Natalie's little voice like, let's go, you know, kind of a thing, get up and do it. Because
color with me, it takes like 10 minutes.
Yes.
You go outside,
it's a very creepy
ball,
comparison.
It's like 15 minutes. But yes.
But much like the sex, you'll feel better for it afterwards. You'll sleep better.
You will earn it.
Yes, you will earn it. And yes, it's a double-edged sword. It's a two birds with one stone. I'm so scared of my analogies with this.
Right?
I'm walking on very thin ice. I need to move on.
It is not a duty. It is not an obligation. It will make you happy.
And I was playing with the kids, and then and they were running at me, and I was, you know, trying to juke them out, and it was fun. And you find that the reason we do these moments of the week is that parenting is so filled with the negatives a lot, mm-hmm. that it makes us afraid to try something fun, realistically.
Well,
often than not, it blows up in your face.
Every time I try to do something fun, it blows up in my face. And it's
but not this time. This was your idea. So go outside, throw the football. We all
Justin,
had a great time.
But yeah.
And then
ironically enough, their attitude changes. They are a little bit nicer. They might listen a little bit better because they had more fun.
I don't think it's that. Here's the thing. Here's my problem with that, Natalie, that begets the idea that there's too, in my opinion, I'm really getting hard on heavy handed on this, and I apologize, but it really does bother me that there's this kind of trend in the people that I know that walk around with a guilt or a monkey on their back. Like, am I doing enough for my kid? If you have that thought, you are. And that what you really should focus on is all of the good in your kids. Don't lower the bar. Keep doing what you're doing, but don't feel guilty. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm asking. Mm-hmm. Even if you lose your temper once, twice in a week, hell, four times out of the week, if you walk away from losing your temper going, fuck, I hate to do that, you're fine. Mm-hmm. Don't spend a minute doubting your love for your kids or how they're going to think about. Trust me, I have seen people who have tried nothing but to make their kids happy and protect them from feeling pain or anger, and it breaks bad. That's at least the examples that I've seen.
And the kids
but
are miserable.
I've seen people who have literally had their life, like their parents were assholes, and those people are still okay. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, better off than the people who really just tried to shelter their kids from any kind of negative feeling. That's just my opinion. I'm not an expert. All I really want to say to you is let go of that guilt. Just hug your kid, kiss him on the head, and take up time to watch a show, have a cocktail, whatever your thing is, and sit back and just remind yourself of how much you love them, and take that moment to kind of look inside and see what your true intentions are. Why did you scream? You scream because you care.
Right.
That's why you yelled.
Right.
Why did you give him a timeout? Because you fucking care. It's not because you're mean. It's not because you're a nasty person. I need some fucking like dun, 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 music. I'm getting all up on a soapbox. So my moment was playing football with the boys. And to go back to yours, too, is that it really warms my heart in a way that I cannot really understand, to watch him love a sport. I was not a kid who was way into sports, but I did love football. And he loves it way more than I do.
Yeah.
Like
he's reading books on it.
Yeah, he reads books, and just the idea of walking on the field is a big deal. And it's really endearing because that boy has such a big heart, and to find something that he really loves to do and just is really passionate about. And it's something that I have a little bit of experience in that I can kind of cultivate his passion. And kind of, I'm obviously not going to be the dad who's going to have him doing, you know, fucking burpees in the backyard.
Squats,
and yeah, exactly.
Push-ups,
I'm never going to be that dad, but I can help talk him through the form
and the game,
I will sit and watch him with a game and help him break down. And even if it turns into nothing, but he and I grow up and play Madden football together while we get old, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But it really is cool to see something like that where your kid's super passionate about. All right, that was our show. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Huh?
Do you have one for Jack?
Yeah, I was playing football in the backyard. Oh,
okay,
it was both
okay,
of them.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
No, Jack, if you're listening, go fuck yourself.
Oh, we love you, Jack.
No, I don't. no, okay. So, yeah, show at thedadpodcast.com. Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. If you like the show, we have a lot of people that are new. The show is growing tremendously. I cannot thank you. I should have said it at the beginning of the episode. Please continue to spread the word about the show. Everybody, share it on Facebook. Tell your friends. Or, even better, tell me if you're like, because here's the thing. There's a part of me that kind of thought, what if people, because a lot of this is people don't think that there are other people who feel this way about parenting. So it's a weird thing to tell people to listen to the show if it's an unpopular opinion. And if that is you, let me know. Let's say, listen, I would love to tell people the show because I think it's great, but it's kind of not a shameful thing, but embarrassing. But I would really appreciate it if you gave me that feedback. And if you want to give anonymous feedback, a great way to do it is go to thedadpodcast.com. On the right-hand side, there's a link to take a survey. Another great way that you could also help the show is to do a review on iTunes. Write a little paragraph, 2-3 sentences. It could just be saying, I fucking love this show and 5 stars. Or, I fucking hate the show and 1 star. Appreciate it if you sent me an email first, but whatevs. Also, if you want to talk to other like-minded parents, find Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. It's a Facebook group run by our very own Butcher Drew.
All right, all right, all right.
Love
and you
can
get there and they'd share fun pictures and tons of stories with each other and chat with each other. It's a very nice community that they have set up there. Dadpodcast.com, bottom of the page, click on the Amazon banner, bookmark that shit, because every time you buy something on Amazon, especially with the holidays coming, motherfucker, daddy gets a little taste and it costs you nothing, all right? On behalf of the beautiful Natalie Worsham, who will not be having sex with me tonight because I jumped on the grenade for you.
Nope.
This is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, especially you ladies, and stay frosty, my friends.